to preach a lesson that I think is of great significance relative to the church and its growth, entitled In Just One Generation. I urge you to try to be here next week and to tell others about it as we study that lesson, In Just One Generation. At Matthew 19:25, the disciples of Jesus raised a question that's a rather important question. The question was, who then can be saved? Can you be saved today? Those who teach universal salvation would say, sure, no question about it. Everybody's going to be saved in some form or another. Those who would teach grace only would say, certainly you can be saved without anything whatsoever done on your part. And those who would promote the idea that one cannot fall from grace and so sin as to be eternally lost would say salvation is sure. I'm here to tell you this morning, based on the teaching of the Bible, that salvation is iffy. After the first service this morning, someone wanted to know how I spell that word. You'll have to look at my outline to see that. Salvation is iffy. At 2 Peter 1:10, after having given the list of what we call the seven Christian graces, Peter said, give diligence to make thy calling and election sure. Someone might turn to that passage and say, you see, the Bible says that the calling and election is sure, but read on in that verse. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Listen and pay a special attention to the little word if as we look at 1 John 1 beginning at verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Did you notice how many times the little word if is used? Folks, our salvation is conditional. Our salvation is dependent upon the existence of certain facts and obedience to specific commands. First, notice that salvation is iffy and dependent in the sense that there has to be the proper foundation on which to build the idea of salvation. It's rather interesting that when Paul is talking about the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, that he uses this word if so many times. 1 Corinthians 15:14, and if Christ be not risen, then is your preaching vain and your faith is vain. Verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Verse 19, if in this life only we have faith in, or hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead in triumph over Satan, you and I have no promise of salvation. If that fact does not exist, and if we cannot be sure that Christ arose from the dead, then no promise is meaningful to us. Our salvation depends on whether or not Christ rose from the dead. In fact, it is interesting to look at some other passages that are related to this. If the works of Jesus were not done by the Son of God in a miraculous way, we have no right to believe in the New Testament church in the way of salvation. For example, in Luke 11, 19, and 20, he starts one verse by saying, if I do these things by Beelzebub, in the other verse, but if by the finger of God. He's talking about his works. Verse 20 says, if I by the finger of God, and one of the other accounts of the gospel translates finger power or uses power in that place, if I by the finger of God or by the power of God cast out devils, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. If this fact is true, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and what he is doing is by the power of God, then he says the kingdom of God is a reality, and you can believe in it. If the gospel is true, we can have the assurance of salvation. If it is not true, we have no assurance. Paul said at 1 Corinthians 9:16, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel of Christ. Galatians 1:9, he said, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. And it was Jesus that said in connection with all of this, in John 14:15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Verse 23, if a man love me, he'll keep my commandments. If we believe the gospel and that gospel is from God and it is his message, then we have the promise of salvation. And if that is not his message, we have no promise. You see, salvation is even iffy in that sense. At 2 Corinthians 5:17, in a rather short verse, Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The same Paul had said at Romans 6:3, and Galatians 3:27, that we're baptized into Jesus Christ and into his body, 1 Corinthians 12:13. Now, if we're in Christ, we are a new creature. If we've been scripturally baptized into Jesus Christ and into the proper relationship with him, we are a new creature. If we have not, we are not. You see, salvation is iffy. In John the 7th chapter, verse 17, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. If any man will do his will. Now look at what's said. If Christ is resurrected, if his works are miraculous and done by deity or by the Son of God as he's on earth, if his gospel is true, if we are in Christ Jesus, if we do his will, you see, as far as the foundation of salvation is concerned, it is all dependent upon the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if he is not, if he has not been risen, has not come from the dead to ascend back to the Father, if those facts are not true and we cannot believe in them, we have no assurance whatsoever. But we believe that those facts are true. We believe that he did live, that he did die, that he was resurrected, that he did give us his gospel, that we can be in him as new creatures and we can do his will. And so when we accept those facts, the availability of salvation is sure, in that by the grace of God, salvation has appeared to all men, giving us the opportunity to be saved. Titus 2, verses 11 and 12. But salvation depends on whether or not Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. If he then is risen, we have hope. If he is not risen, our faith is in vain. Go a bit further and think for a moment about whether or not we are in Christ and have opportunity to take advantage of what was made possible by his resurrection. Here again, salvation is iffy. We need to be saved from all past sins. We need to be forgiven of all our sins in order to be in Christ and to live for him. But listen to the different passages that suggest some conditions. First, Matthew 16:24. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. John 19, verse 21, if you would be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor. Romans 8, 13, if you live in the flesh, you are dead while you live, but if you mortify your deeds by the Spirit, you have the opportunity to be in Christ. In fact, the very beginning of the possibility of salvation from past sins for you and me is dependent on whether or not we are willing to deny ourselves and deny worldliness and turn to Jesus Christ. And then it's interesting to look at a passage like Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If. Oh, that little word just pops up so often. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. You see, there are two doors involved with our salvation, each of which has a knob only on one side. The door to the church cannot be opened from the outside. You and I just don't walk up and open the door into Christ and the church and say, I'm going in. You see, the Lord adds to the church, Acts 2, 41 and 47, and therefore he is the one who opens the door and adds us to that body if. There are some conditions. And then there is the door to your heart and mine, expressed here in Revelation 3:20. If you open the door to your heart, Christ says he'll come in and sup with you and you with him. And when you open the door to your heart that leads you to obedience and he comes into your life, in that process, God opens the door to the church and adds you to Christ and to his body and forgives you of all past sins. If. And if you don't. He won't. In fact, going a bit further, John 8, 24 says, if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. In answer to the question, what doth hinder me to be baptized, in Acts 8, 37, Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. You can't be saved without faith. In 2 Timothy 2:11, he says, if you are dead with him, you can live with him. And that death is explained in Romans 6:1-2 as being dead to sin, not to live any longer therein. And it is said in another way, using a word except, which has the same idea, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. That idea could easily be said, if you repent, you'll be forgiven. If you don't repent, you'll perish. And summarizing Matthew 10, 32 and 33, Jesus in a sense said, if you confess me, I'll confess you. If you deny me, I'll deny you. He said, whosoever shall confess me, I'll confess. But you see the idea that's involved? And again, using this word except with the idea of the if in John 3, 3 through 5, he says, except a man be born again, except a man be born of water and the Spirit. He was saying, if you are not born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. If you are not born of water and the Spirit, you cannot be in the kingdom of God. But if you are, you can be. Folks, salvation is iffy. If you deny yourself, if you hear him and open the door, if you believe, if you repent, confess, and are baptized for the remission of sins, if. Now, if that's what's necessary to be in Christ, then it necessarily follows if you don't do that, you're not in Christ. And we are not an enemy to people when we tell them the truth and help people to see that if they have not obeyed God according to his plan of salvation, they are not in Christ and his body. And if we are not in Christ and his body, we are lost. Salvation is iffy. What about after we become Christians? It's interesting to note that salvation is iffy here. Now you see, after we have become Christians and we've been saved from past sins, we're interested especially in eternal salvation. But Jesus says himself in John 15, 6 and 7, if ye abide not in me, you'll be cast forth as a branch. If you abide in me, summarizing, you'll have the blessings that are there. This is where he talks about the relationship of the branches, Christians, to the vine, Jesus Christ. And he says, if you don't abide in me, you'll be cast off. That doesn't sound like once saved, always saved. That doesn't sound like that you cannot so sin as to be eternally lost, does it? That doesn't sound like salvation in assurance without any possibility of turning one's back on Christ. Then in Colossians 1:23, he says, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled. If you continue. In Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, verses 6 and 14, he says, if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence until the end. And this is in a context where he's going back and looking at the children of Israel and how they turned their backs upon God and how they did not enter into the land of Canaan because of their disobedience and their unbelief. And he says, we'll enter in if we hold fast. In Romans 11, verse 22, he says, behold the goodness and the severity of God. Toward them that fail severity, toward you goodness, if you continue in his goodness. And James 2:17 says, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Now, I would not be misunderstood for anything. I am not saying by any stretch of the imagination that we are dependent upon our works of merit to earn our salvation. Nothing could be further from the truth. I have already stated and underscore again that the availability of salvation is entirely by the grace of God and is dependent only on those facts of the resurrection and the associated facts that we discussed earlier. But as available as salvation is to everyone, whether or not we are saved is dependent on whether or not we accept that available salvation through the ifs that we have just discussed. If you abide in me, if you continue in the faith, if you continue in his goodness, if you have works with your faith, salvation is iffy. And folks, if we don't continue, we can be lost. If we don't abide in the vine, we can be cut off. If we hold on to Jesus Christ as penitent, humble believers, there's no way that anything can separate us from the love of God. But if we don't hold on to Christ, we can be separated and separated eternally. Salvation is iffy. The Bible even indicates that eternal salvation, as we have somewhat said in the last few sentences, is iffy. In 2 Timothy 2:12, if we deny him, he will deny us. If we suffer, we shall reign with him. Being able to reign with him and have that crown of righteousness that Paul talks about in 2 Timothy 4:7 and 8 is dependent on whether or not we finish the course and keep the faith and fight the good fight. It was only after Paul had done that he said, I have that crown of righteousness. And in all of these verses, along with statements like Matthew 10:22, he that endureth to the end shall be saved, we must conclude that if we live for Christ, we have heaven as a promise, and if we don't, we don't. If we live for God, he will reward us with heaven. If we don't, he won't. Salvation is iffy. Salvation depends upon the foundation of a resurrected Christ, and if Christ be not risen, our salvation, our faith is in vain. We believe from the Bible that he did rise, and so the availability of salvation is sure. If we will deny ourselves and believe in him and repent and confess and be baptized, he will forgive us, save us from all past sins, add us to Christ and to his body. And when we have done that, based on the teaching of the Bible, we have the assurance that we are Christians. But if we don't, we have no assurance. And if we abide in him and continue in him and hold fast to him as our Savior, and do the works of obedience and service in his kingdom, we have the promise of eternal salvation that is sure. But if we don't, we have no assurance. It's just that simple. If we go to Christ, we can find salvation. If we live in Christ, we can be saved eternally. And if you are not there in Christ, you need to come as together we stand in faith.